Hello, the listeners of Foreign Policy Talks podcast. Hope you are doing well. Right, this is the second episode of the special highlight of Indonesia's presidential election, and this is specifically focusing on Indonesia's foreign policy, as always. And as last time I've covered about one of the candidates, the presidential and vice presidential candidates of Indonesia, Mr. Subianto and Waka. This time we're going to cover another candidates for the election, which is someone that I think I don't need to introduce more about him. So his name is Ganjar and Mahfud. So these two names have come up as the president and vice presidential candidates that have been officially submitted their application to run for the office too. So, in the past few weeks in Indonesia, the upcoming general election in February 2024, which is the new leadership for the next 5 years, has become the hottest topic, the hottest conversation. People are talking about this. As I said earlier, three names or three candidates or three pairs of candidates have officially submitted their application. These three have come up with different main taglines, as has been covered by the previous one, that the Prabowo and Gibran has mentioned about the vision to make Indonesia as an advanced nation, which is quite similar with what President Jokowi has or had last time during the previous presidential election. So this Ganjar Mahfud has another tagline or has another vision that has been introduced in the official document or has been or often been mentioned in different occasions. So the tagline of this candidate is towards an excellent Indonesia. They also mentioned about Indonesia Maju or Advance Indonesia, but they're trying to add more values to that. That it's not only it's not enough only by having an Advance Indonesia, but also an excellent Indonesia. So many people are asking what do they mean by that, right? How can they define this vision very clearly to the public? If you clearly or if you carefully read the document, you will see a lot of visions and missions like others, covering different sectors from economy, human capital development, law reform, technological advancement, international relationships, the enhancement of our defense and security system, and so on and so forth. I will not touch all of them, as I mentioned earlier, so I will just touch about a very specific issue, which is on how they see how should Indonesia's foreign policy move forward under their leadership. Foreign policy issues is one of the least conversed topics, right, among others. This area is rarely debated or become a spotlight because this topic is very segmented. Not a lot of people talk about this. Not a lot of people, quote unquote, understand about this. So this is something that is, at the not at the top of the priority that they need to deliver, usually in the public audience. Many people say this is just still a very elitist. Although I see a lot of movements by different groups or by different figures to try disseminate the importance of understanding Indonesia's positioning at the regional and global level to different communities, including youth. But anyways, come back to what they have offered in terms of Indonesia's foreign policy. Right. So given to the strategic and growing role Indonesia has at the regional and global level, they acknowledge that putting their vision and mission on Indonesia's international affairs is also one of the mission that they put in the document. So out of eight different missions that they put in the document or they write in the document, one of these eight missions is covering specifically on international affairs. And if you see, actually, based on their experience, based on their previous governance experience or position, I must say, or I must argue, that both Gunter and Mahfud are not foreign policy blind. They have sufficient knowledge on the relationship with many countries, not only because they have had some important positions in the government. For example, one of, I mean, the VP candidate is having a very strategic role in the ministry, or in the government. And of course, the presidential candidate was a governor, which he has a lot of experience of interacting or engaging with the foreign partners, definitely. So when they propose a tagline towards an excellent Indonesia, they also add some other keywords to add as a foundation of having swift moves to achieve an advanced, justice, and sustainable maritime nation. Of course, from this line, you will have a lot of question, and I think you really want them to explain more about that. But anyways, let me continue with the preamble. Of course, when you measure about the understanding of president and first presidential candidates of on how Indonesia's diplomacy should move to or should move onward, I think we really need to see what do they know about the landscape of our geopolitical and geoeconomic situation, right? So in the preamble, in the introduction, they acknowledge the shifting global challenges include the global population increase, technological disruption. They also mentioned about climate change. They highlight that we have an economic disparities between the developing and poor ones. There is an international system injustice and global economic rivalry that causes a lot of problems, from energy crisis, food crisis, poverty crisis, and even social and humanitarian violation in many parts of the globe. So they acknowledge that in the beginning. I think this understanding of the global trends is very crucial because it will help the leaders to strategically move the country's diplomatic muscles. And that's, I think we might appreciate what this candidates have in the preamble introduction. Although I think they are missing some other trends, right? We see the Asian century today, we see the trends of deglobalization. There is also a trend of decreasing trust towards multilateralism that has not been specifically mentioned, but it doesn't mean that they are lacking of understanding or knowledge on this. But it's, I think it's just worth to mention about the other trends that I think should be, I think they, I mean, should also be an attention for these people, the people that. Going to run for the important role like president and VP. So, on many occasions, I personally attended two different events whereby the presidential candidate or Ganjar gave a foreign policy speech. And on these occasions, what I see is that he's trying to propose. To redefine the free and active foreign policy following the changing global landscape that we have today. He specifically mentioned one time that free has to be defined as being independent in formulating strategic policies, and active means to take more initiative than just a follower. And by having this free and active foreign policy principles, it doesn't mean that we really close our eyes and doesn't really care about what happened internally or domestically. So he initiated the importance of capitalizing our resources to incentivize our diplomatic efforts. Meaning is that when he explained about his foreign policy agenda, he also talked about on how Indonesia should also focus on our food security, on energy resilience, on maritime sovereignty, and on economic industrialization, who's going to help Indonesia to move its diplomatic muscles when we are very strong in these aspects. So that's what he's trying to explain. I think this is a very practical understanding or a very practical strategy on how foreign policy begins at home, so he can deliver what the domestic demands has pushed him to do, but also to also answer or address the internal sorry the external challenges or the external demands coming from what the situation has pushed him to do in terms of foreign policy. And interestingly, what I want to highlight also is that, as you can see in the tagline, he's bringing back the narrative of Indonesia's potential as a great maritime nation, or what maybe you have heard under President Jokowi's time about a global maritime fulcrum. So he's trying to put that back in many parts of the document of their vision and mission. He's also mentioned that during his presentation in different events. But what the question mark here is that, which is I'm sure it's still missing, if I'm not mistaken, on how he can bring more innovative solutions to this concept, to this idea of having Indonesia as a global maritime fulcrum, that many have regarded this as not achieved successfully under the previous president. I mean, for the current president, President Jokowi. So he really needs to put more elaboration on how he can achieve that without neglecting the importance of global maritime fulcrum. In the document, the first mission under the umbrella of international relationship or international affairs is they want to enhance Indonesia's role in the fairer new world order through free and active foreign policy. I think it's very interesting for foreign policy enthusiasts or observers or analysts to see that the new world order is mentioned clearly in the agenda, because this the new world order is there, but the question is that what Indonesia wants from that, and what can Indonesia wants to do also to face the situation. With that, he added, or in the document also add, some other foundation of a multipolar world that will enable Indonesia to be more proactive. So that's interesting, because meaning that he actually prefer to see the world that is multipolar, and all I mean, not all, but many countries in the world have their own space to move, or they have their own role to act. And therefore, there is another line that I want to share here that is clearly written in a document, is that they want to maintain an autonomous international activism, bilateral and multilateral forms. I think the word autonomous here is very, very interesting, very crucial, because it means that ideally there should be no international pressure can limit the steps that Indonesia will take in the future, right? So that's the word autonomous can be defined. It requires, I think, more than just a strong stance, but a comprehensive strategy in all aspects, right? Because it cannot be just like, okay, you are economically dependent towards any certain countries, and but in terms of security, you are strong, meaning that it's in balance, and you cannot take a very strong stance on certain issues. It makes you very inconsistent, because our determination as a nation to set a foreign policy decision will always come with consequences. And meaning that if we are domestically strong, if we can capitalize our resources domestically to push our diplomatic to push our diplomatic goals, that's I think what they're trying to create under this vision and mission. Another line that is also very interesting is that they want to have Indonesia to manage a progressive geopolitical coexistence. Unfortunately, there is no clear elaboration under this mission, but we can actually refer from what they have mentioned in the previous section is that despite the great power rivalries that bring consequential impacts, I think what Indonesia can do is to be coexist with all competing powers, right? Because that's will help that will help Indonesia to present a progressive result nationally. So it's not contradicting with any powers, but trying to be coexist, but at the same time also to meet the domestic demand that has been clearly defined previously. Another interesting line from the vision and mission document is that all international treaties must meet 100% of national interests. You know, this has been debated by many of my colleagues, the fellow foreign policy observers, on how it will be implemented practically on the ground. How come you achieve 100% of national interests when you're negotiating with different countries? But I think the meaning of this line is clearly about that when you are engaging or negotiating with external parties or with the foreign partners, what you really need to prioritize is that you need to see what the people in Indonesia really wants to see from that negotiation or from that forum or from that engagement with different countries. So it's not about neglecting the importance of understanding the other interests, but to also prioritize what we have or what we need to do. But I think that's really need further deliberation from the candidates on this space. On one occasion, Ganjar also mentioned the importance of revitalizing ASEAN as a regional economic grouping. I think this is very important to underline when we can also see under Indonesia's chairmanship for this year. We bring optimism and also we bring a lot of energy back to Southeast Asia by even you see from the team that we introduced, I mean the government has introduced under this year's chairmanship, it's about ASEAN as the epicentrum of growth. So given to the changing global economic and political landscape, people see that the fresh air or the bright spot is actually in Southeast Asia. I will not explain why is it so, but he I mean Gajah also mentioned during the same event saying that Indonesia's leadership in ASEAN or in Southeast Asia also has to go beyond successfully convening events but take a leading role in determining strategic decisions. That's a very powerful statement, I must say. And we are looking forward to see more ideas about how he can reshape ASEAN economic integration in the future. He also, in many times, mentioned about the importance or the greater role of Indonesia's diplomats to be more active in achieving our economic and diplomatic goals. And I think it's not be possible without any institutional reforms and even increase the budget for our foreign ministry. I think that's the best solution to really enhance our activism of our diplomacy. And I would like to close by also quoting what he mentioned at the latest foreign policy speech that he delivered in Jakarta. He mentioned that Indonesia's foreign policy principle will still be the same from the first president until now and to the future. But what makes it different of Indonesia's foreign policy standing is about the priority. So you can see from what I have mentioned previously, many of these foreign policy standings do not seem new, but really incorporate more dimensions of internal improvements and what really evaluate what actually the best priority that we need to have in the coming years as Indonesia in the different landscape of global economy, global politics, right? So we can sense that moving Indonesia as an excellent nation is really requiring significant reforms on our diplomatic tools, actors, and approaches. So this candidate will always be tested on their understanding of foreign policy issues like others. So it's our job to observe, to really look into what they have in their minds about Indonesia's international affairs. And I think the question of policy continuity has been answered by some of the written visions and missions, what they have in the document. Some sounds very new, and it requires further deliberation from this candidate. So we are very much looking forward. Let's look at them carefully, and please let us know if you have any ideas on what should we do to also help us understand more about their foreign policy standards. Thank you so much.